You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we say hello to you, and we are in Hoover, Alabama, which, for those who don't know much about Alabama geography, is just south of Birmingham. And it's a delight to be here, and the SEC Media Days are underway, as most of you know by now, and we appreciate you being a part of the program. And we'll be here all week. We have a lot to deal with, and we'll tell you what you've missed so far and let you know what is about to happen this afternoon. Barrett Slee will join us in a few minutes. We'll get his update on everything that is currently going on. Glenn Gilbo will join us. By the way, we're going to do something we haven't done because we haven't been together in a couple of days. We'll take phone calls a good bit in the first 30 minutes. Then we'll start mixing guests along, and then we'll work phone calls in. So if you've got something to say, I rarely tell you what to do. I believe it's up to the audience, but the first 30 minutes will probably be the best shot at getting in for the first couple hours. We have a little more time built in here. So if you want to give us a ring, the number is 855-242-7285. I mentioned Glenn Gilbo joining us top of next hour. Dan Mullen, 90 minutes from now. He will be here. Joe Tessitore, of course, one of the voices of college football. Benjamin Watson, remember the former UGA player? He's now an SEC Network analyst. He will join us as well. And Jordan Rogers and Tom Hart will join us before the show. All week long, we've got a lot to do here, and we will be talking to all of you. And it is such a thrill to be back. And the fact that a year ago we were sitting at home at this moment in time wondering whether there would be a college football season, and when the commissioner alluded to that today, it was very, very interesting how he thanked everyone for being here. And it is just truly amazing to think about where we have come. There has not been a lot of headlines today. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, gave his state of the state address and dealt with a lot of the big moments, the big issues, including NIL, and he talked a lot about vaccines. He urged people to, in the SEC, the players to get vaccinated, saying there won't be any stoppage like there was last year. Not the same amount of accommodations that we've had in the past. So that was really a big story. Ed Ogeron is also here. He was asked about the sexual misconduct allegations in Baton Rouge, but which has brought a federal lawsuit, a federal Title IX suit, which he was recently added as a defendant. He had no comment on the sexual conduct allegations. My friend Cecil Hurt put it very succinctly and tartly in a tweet a minute ago, saying Ed Ogeron has no comment on sexual misconduct allegations in Baton Rouge, but closes with a thanks for asking that had enough acid to poison a 500-pound alligator. So you can tell Coach O not in the mood to talk about what has been a major off-the-field distraction. Well, I put it off long enough. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. Let's begin with James. We're doing this a little bit remotely, so we have somebody else kind of punching the button, so it may take a little longer than usual to get you on, but we will get you on. And James starts us off from Alabama. Hello, James. Thank you.
Paul, you feeling all right today? Paul.
I am. Hey, Paul. Hey, have you heard that I was sick? I'm feeling great.
I sense like a low ebb in your energy level, man. Your vocal quality is not the typical Paul Feinbaum we're used to. Is it because of the various hookups?
I'm guessing it is. I would always, you know, it's always hard to evaluate your own energy level, but I'm one that wants to finish strong, James. So I may occasionally. Hey, how are you? I may occasionally start slow, just so we don't.
All right. Well, here's what I'll offer for you, and I don't want to push up the cost of this product, but it's a Sambucus. It's a seven times the strength of natural elderberry. In other words, that's how much elderberry they've poured into this product. It's by Nature's. Goodness gracious, I'm over 50 and I'm sitting in a dark room. Nature's Answer is the company, okay. I believe I'm correct. And also a teaspoon of honey. Okay?
Okay. It'll help clear that. Help me.
Maybe.
Well, right. I think part of my problem is this, James, if I could be so bold. I sat on a plane today for about 3.5 hours that was delayed wearing a mask, and I think I have simply I think that did something to my voice. There's something about these masks.
Okay, here's what I will share with you. There is some reports on the actual the microbes that are found inside these masks, as though far right-wing people believe that there is a concerted effort to lower the population on the planet. Can you believe that? And as a result, they're inserting these microbes inside these masks.
I think that's what happened to me today. I've had so many different masks on that.
And not only that, the fibers, who knows where these masks are made, unless it says made in the United States, and I wouldn't trust those. And you know my stance on masks, though, right?
I vaguely remember.
Oh, come on, Paul. Come on. And tell me this. Have you had your door knocked on yet? I understand there's a...
At my house, you mean?
Yeah, my understanding is this is... in other words, they're going door-to-door now in North Carolina, and I'm sure they're going to be knocking on everybody else's door. I'm looking forward. No, I'm not.
Okay.
Well,
James, I'll tell you what.
Leave me alone.
Let me continue this another time, because I'm afraid if I hear you on that, I might lose even more energy than I already have. Thanks for the call. Tom is up next in Tennessee.
Man.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Paul. Good to hear from you. Hey, I just want to know, you're down there in at the who's made the biggest impression or kind of an impression on you as far as the coach and the players that you've been around? Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I have only heard the commissioner and two coaches. I have not heard any of the players yet. So, and let me be clear. Thanks for the call. I know I'm supposed to be here covering this, but when because of the weather and mechanical issues, I missed a couple of things. So I am. We're going to have some guys on here in a minute that will give you a better analysis than I can. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Ed next. Ed, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon to you.
Hey, it's been a while, Paul. I used to talk to you back in the 80s. The last time I saw you, you were in Opelika. Bought two of your books. You signed them. Gotten run over by a car. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But I wanted to ask you two things. I'm a big Auburn fan, of course, but what do you think realistically this year? It's going to be hard for Harsin to really do recruiting like he needs to. But what do you think about? I've been seeing a lot of good. I live here now, and I rode through campus about every morning. You see a lot of excitement. A lot of kids are, doing a lot on their own. And then what do you think about Auburn's basketball and their chances next year with the transfers and everything?
Yeah, thanks for the call. I think Bruce Pearl's had a phenomenal offseason. And I wasn't surprised. I mean, last year was kind of a wash with the self-imposed stuff. But he has really been killing it off the year, in off-season recruiting. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against the break. We are live in Hoover, Alabama. We appreciate you being here. More of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back here in Hoover, Alabama, and we're taking your phone calls. I mentioned the guests will start lining up here, so if you have a call, good time to do it, and we would love to hear from you. 855-242-7285. A lot of questions are being asked about things here. So let's get your calls in here, and let's check in next with Jared, who is in Huntsville, Alabama. Hey, Jared, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, I had a question. I don't know what James is. I don't think I want anything that he's drinking or eating, but I want something that he's smoking.
Yeah, James always had, you know, what's interesting about James, he's always got some angle. And I don't think if you're sober, and unfortunately right now I am, you can discern what he's talking about. I mean, I think you have to be on some sort of mind-altering drug.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did have a question for you. What's the kind of the schedule for the week as far as are you going to talk to Ogeron? And I know you will, Saban, but Carson also, what's the schedule for the rest of the week?
Here's the deal. So everything is dictated by time. And it depends on, like today, Ogeron has already been on the main channel, and you know we start a little bit late on television the first day because the event starts late. So he's already been through there, and then when we move over there in a little while, they'll start coming. So we will not talk to him. We'll have Mullen and Beamer today in terms of SEC head coaches. I know we have Pittman and Harsin on Friday, which is another strange day because the event ends right as we're coming on the air. And then I know we have Kiffin on, I believe, tomorrow. I'm just trying to do this from memory. I could dig it all out. I've got a schedule here of everybody, but it really just depends on the day.
Gotcha. All right. Well, have a good show. Appreciate it, Paul. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, let me as we're lining up calls, let me take a look at what we do have, because there are a lot of moving parts here. So today I mentioned we will talk to. Don't mean to be stumbling here, but I'm just trying to read and go through something and talk at the same time, which is dangerous. I mentioned Beamer and, of course, Mullen. Tomorrow.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
On this part of the show, we will have, definitely Kiffin. Kiffin and Stoops will be with us tomorrow. Let me keep going down the I've never taken accounting, but what I'm looking at right now, folks, is like doing accounting, because it is so complex with so many crosses. Wednesday, Jimbo Fisher and Leach will be the two head coaches that we will have on here. And I mentioned Harsin. And Pittman, I believe, on Friday. So, you know, what's going on is the SEC Network has coverage every day. Today it started a little bit later with the commissioner, but it goes on all day. So what you're getting is, depending on the time, Saban will be on, I believe he'll be on Wednesday morning. So we will not be interacting with him. So I'll just kind of go over a few things that did happen today. The caller asked me. Mullen has what I would probably guess is the quote of the day so far about on the field. He was asked about Georgia being favored in the East. And his response was, didn't they say that last year? Yeah, they did. Florida... But quite frankly, that's not true, because Florida technically was picked to win the division last year ahead of Georgia, but apparently Mullen may have forgotten that. But why get the listen? As we always used to say back in the journalism business, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. And in Mullen's case, he was simply trying to push that. There was one other really interesting story today, and this was by Ross Dellinger, and the commissioner Sankey alluded to some of it later on, but in essence he talked about how the game of college football is changing from an administrative and structural standpoint, and you've heard us talk about so much of this in the past, but it is clear that the NCAA has seen better days. That's why you saw Mark Emmert the other day allude that more of the power is going back to the conferences. This is not something that he ever wanted to do, but he was forced into it. One more thing I do want to get to, and I have sworn, much to many people's chagrin, that we have reached our limit in talking about COVID, because it was all we talked about last year. And I know if you look at the news channels, it's all people are talking about now. I'm not giving you an opinion. I have no earthly idea other than what people tell us in terms of where we are with COVID. It looks like we're taking a bad turn. But the commissioner of the SEC was emphatic today when he said that the league is not planning on postponing or canceling any games due to COVID. He said if games are not postponed, SEC teams could have to forfeit if they have an outbreak that prevents them from playing. Let's listen to what Greg Sankey said.
You hope not to have disruption, but hope is not a plan, is the great cliche. We still have roster minimums that exist, just like last year. What I've identified for consideration among our membership is we remove those roster minimums and you're expected to play as scheduled. That means your team needs to be healthy to compete. And if not, that game won't be rescheduled. And thus, to dispose of the game, the forfeit word comes up at this point. That's not a policy, and what you see are the bookends now for decision making. We've not built in the kind of time we did last year, particularly at the end of the season, to accommodate disruption. And unless we're going to do that, our teams are going to have to be fully prepared to play their season as scheduled, which is why embedded in my remarks is the vaccination motivation.
And that's really what he's getting at. And you don't need me to decode the commissioner's comments. It's all about vaccinations right now. And he made that very clear. And, whether you like that or not, and that's a debate that we can have elsewhere, the commissioner of the SEC was very clear today, emphatically clear, that if players are not vaccinated and are forced to cancel games, it's on them. It's not on the league. The last year, as everyone knows, the league was accommodating. There was a makeup weekend built in, and that's not happening this year. His message: you play as expected. You're expected to play as scheduled. And he went on to say that means your team needs to be healthy to compete, and if not, the game won't be rescheduled. So, yeah, I don't know if you can make a stronger pitch to young athletes to be vaccinated. I've heard some numbers. There are a couple of schools in the SEC. I think that the numbers are 70% to 80%, but that's not everyone. And we're watching this every day. I mean, we saw the Yankees and the Red Sox game canceled the other night. We've seen countless players already bail from Tokyo. So it's a message that coaches are being almost forced into delivering to their teams. There's no other way around it. If you're not vaccinated, you have to go through the testing protocol. And anyone who's gone through that, in all candor, I had to take a COVID test the other day just to come down here. And, you know, these players and coaches have gone through this repeatedly for a long time, and that's the only way to get around it. One other thing that was interesting today, we're going to talk tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow with Harry Lyles Jr., who's been here a number of times. The commissioner also announced today that the presidents and the chancellors of the league have approved a new diversity initiative that will establish an expectation for athletic department hiring processes around key leadership groups. Sankey pointed out that LSU has hired the league's first black president, William Tate, in May. He said there have been 8 new head football coaches hired in the last 2 years, and none of them is from underrepresented groups. It's a reality, he said, that has to be changed before and must change again. Everyone will remember that Sylvester Croom was hired in 2003 as the first black head coach in the SEC. And there have been just 4 hired since then. After Vanderbilt fired Derek Mason in November, the conference right now has no black head coaches. We can talk about all that. We're here for the next 4 hours, and we look forward to talking to you. If you want to get in, we'll work you in quickly here when we come back at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. We're live in Hoover, Alabama, and we are joined now by Barrett Salee, who's certainly no stranger to our broadcast here. Barrett, good to see you, and I was asking you about the buzz of day one. Sometimes there is a big story.
Mm-hmm. There's not this year.
There's not.
Name, image, and likeness. You want to talk about that? We hadn't talked about that for the last 3.5 weeks, have we? No, it's kind of nice, though, to be back in pure football mode. I don't know about you, but I do like the circus aspect of this event. It's designed, I think, in part to be a circus. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have the overarching storyline like Manziel Mania or an NCAA investigation with Hugh Freeze or anything like that, you do get to talk a little bit about football. And I think that's sort of refreshing in a way where, you know, you get to learn a little bit about these teams that maybe you don't get to hear about all the time at this event, because a lot of times, you know, like I said, it's sometimes built to be a circus, and it is a circus.
Yeah, and I once asked the former commissioner of the SEC, Mike Slive. I said, it was a private moment, and I said, why do you do this? Why do you let – and I'm nothing against fans, but I said, you can't hardly walk. He said, we want that.
Yeah.
and he didn't say it specifically, but – I sensed it was a shot across the bow at the Big Ten and others who don't have this.
Yeah, and absolutely. I think that's why this event is considered the unofficial kickoff to football season. The Big 12 went last week, and some people paid attention, but this feels more like a celebration, you know, from all of us, not just the players and the coaches and the media, but just everybody around the city of Hoover. This feels like it's a celebration, and I think you're right. This was when the age of – you know, the internet became, you know, much more accessible. We didn't need to know about the depth chart at Vanderbilt. Like, we can find that out now if we want to. So then what does this event need to be? It needs to be a celebration. It is a celebration. I think the SEC does a great job with it, whether it be here or a few years ago when it was in Atlanta. And, you know, again, after all we've gone through the last 18 months, I mean, it's great to actually see people that we talk to on a regular basis in person. Yeah, I haven't seen you in 18 months.
No,
and I talk to you a lot.
Yeah, no, it's so weird. And yeah, I think everybody's kind of sharing. It reminds me a little bit when we were kids, which you weren't a kid. That
I don't know. I am 40
compared
now.
Compared to me. But everybody's like, what did you do last summer? It's not like it has been 18 months.
And, yeah.
Everybody's going through the same thing, but yeah. We all feel like we're the only one.
Yeah, and I think now to see, you know, kind of everybody talking about it, you know, here it's like, oh, you know, what did you do to get yourself through this?
Right.
Or how have you been feeling? Did you get it? You know, all that stuff. It's just reconnecting with really reconnecting with normalcy. Because honestly, walking into the hotel from the parking lot, I'm just like, wow, I've been here before.
Yeah.
This is
the biggest
normal.
Change is that there's not much open.
Yeah, Starbucks is closed. How about that?
Yeah, no. There was this restaurant downstairs in Starbucks, and now you really need to bring your food, your own food.
Starbucks closing this morning was a really, really shock to the system because I was ready. I needed some coffee, and it was not
coffee?
There. I didn't.
Oh, okay. Wonder why you're so edgy right
no,
now.
I've had two Monster Energy drinks. That might have something to do with it, too.
I'm glad you told me. My first night coming up, I guess I'll
go. Yeah, pack accordingly.
Yeah. Mm.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But yeah, it's fun being around here. I'm excited about, you know, talking to Ed Orgeron. Just got to talk to Dan Mullen. Man, they are really excited about Emory Jones's arm.
Oh, yeah.
They're very excited about Emory Jones. I think there's this. It almost feels like Dan Mullen takes it a little personally that Emory gets labeled as a runner. In fact, with us in the CBS Sports Digital room, he said flat out, I don't know why people have that idea about him because he was listed as a pocket passer on the recruiting websites. I mean, and I think part of it is that he was only used as a runner for 2 years in that system, and now that'll have to change.
Barry, let's you mentioned Orgeron, and you know he was hit with a few questions today about his problems, and I know in Louisiana if you win, mm-hmm. we've seen the audience can just fill in the blank. But do you think he's under any invisible guideline of if this team is not great and it's supposed to be really good?
Yes.
Suddenly the off-the-field stories become bigger?
Yeah, I think – I don't know if it's like if it's written in stone or if it's just the understanding that, hey, look, you're going to have to be good or at least competitive, but more importantly be clean.
Yeah.
You know, if they're just average and a lot of off-the-field stuff happens, that's a major, major problem. I liken this year to a lot like what your colleague Gene Chizik had at Auburn going into the 2012 season. 2 years off a national championship, an underwhelming follow-up to that. And then, you know, he went 3-9 and got fired. I don't think LSU can go 3-9 this year. I think it probably is a little safe to say that that's not going to happen. But if it is an abject disaster and the wheels come off, which, you know, we've seen really talented teams have the wheels come off before, then, yeah, that could be a massive problem because the off-the-field stuff, it, you know, by and large, a lot of it was not necessarily under his tenure as a head coach. He was there for some of it. Now he's, you know, named in the lawsuit, so it's a little different. But, yeah, I think it would be I think more important than anything else, be competitive and be clean. They don't have to be great, but be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, the being clean part, you know, what he's accused of, it's the headlines are serious, but when you get deep into the body of it, it's a bizarre case.
Yeah, it is, and there's moving parts.
Embarrassing case for the school, but we're still not sure how deep he.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like he's there as a part of it. He's like an actor in it, but you don't really know what role. You don't know what role an investigation will turn up. And
right.
I think that's the concern. It's that, okay, obviously his name's mentioned in this in various degrees, but, you know, when all is said and done and you do go through the investigative process and, you know, there is some sort of resolution at the end, what really is his role? And I think that it obviously matters in terms of everything, but if that role gets defined and that question gets answered before the end of the season, then I think it'll go a long way toward knowing, you know, what from a football perspective, you know, where the program is as a whole. Because if they're really good, but he's mentioned all through this, then that's a massive problem.
Yeah, it is worth remembering. He's got an athletic director that did not hire him.
Yep.
He's got a president that did not hire him. I'm sure if you did the research, if we'll exclude Nick Saban from this conversation, that does not spell good news for any SEC head coach.
Well, generally speaking, that's not a good thing, yes. especially when you take over a program that, you know, like, we didn't even know the probation, the sanctions thing was really going on until, like, last year, was it November, when they had that release. It's like, oh, wow. And we knew the investigation would happen, but it was like, oh, we're at a resolution now? This is out of nowhere. So I think, yeah, it's an interesting situation when you're not with somebody who hired you. Obviously, that, you know, in any walk of life, that person's going to want to put their mark on the business, whatever kind of business it is. I do think the national championship does buy him a ton of equity because, you know, it was, I think, one of the best seasons, if not the best season of all time in all of college football.
Right.
But, you know, the farther away you get from that and the more turmoil that exists, the bigger the grass always will look greener as time goes on to your boss.
Barrett Salee with us. Barrett, I've asked you about Auburn a lot because you've spent a little time on my campus. and it's a bewildering situation. But Brian Harsin won't be here till Thursday, but what's your early read on what we're seeing and hearing from down there?
It's a little bizarre. I think from a recruiting aspect, you've seen a lot of players bail, right? And the recruiting class this year is it feels like they're being very deliberate with how they go about it. And I think to an extent that makes sense, right? Because roughly half the staff, you know, they're outsiders, right? Like they're Brian Harsin's guys, which, I mean, fine. If you want to take your time, it feels like they're being more deliberate with it, which to me signifies that in this year, they're not expecting a lot out of that team because they are trying to go through and be as methodical as possible with everything they change about the university and the program. I think the biggest thing for me, for Brian Harsin, his football acumen is unparalleled. We know what kind of football coach he is on the field. The strength and conditioning at Auburn really lacked the last couple of years. You go back and look at that team, it looks like JV versus all-pro NFL against Alabama last year. They just don't look like an SEC team right now, or didn't anyway. And so that's not something you fix overnight. Development, obviously, is going to be huge. I think the offense is, like, the offensive line's terrible. It was terrible last year. Has to get better this year. Wide receivers are a massive problem. We'll see what Robertson brings. But I just think that you're looking at a season where the foundation is being laid. It's not going to be one of those things where, like a Gus Malzahn in 2013, although that's not many coaches have had something like that. But it's just going to be a solid foundation-style year. I don't think they're going to be a disaster. I mean, go look at Urban Meyer. I'm not comparing Brian Harsin to Urban Meyer, but his 2005 at Florida was just okay. It's good. I think that's kind of what you're looking at for Auburn this year.
Talking to Barrett Salee here as we look at the SEC. I mean, Barrett, every question on media days is somewhat cliche, except – as you watch all of this, is there a club that you are really intrigued by that you're looking at and go, okay, I'm not getting a lot of attention, but this team could be in trouble?
LSU is going to win the West. I think that's the one I'm excited about, and I think Florida is going to be much closer to Missouri and
LSU's
Kentucky.
LSU's going to win the West.
Yes. 11-1. We did our game-by-game predictions 3 weeks ago. I had them beating Alabama, but then losing to Ole Miss. And, in fact, you know, Ole Miss is one of those teams, actually. They're going to get somebody. That team is going to be feast or famine, and I can't wait to see that team. But, no, I think LSU in terms of a welcome surprise.
I like how you softened the audience up with this, you know, maybe 3-9, and now you drop the ball.
Well, it's so funny, though, because, that again, getting back to the Gene Chizik comparison for Auburn 2012, that roster was national championship caliber, right? Like, we saw that the next year. They're far better than a 3-9 style team, but the wheels came falling off. And because they were fragile, because they had gone through all this other stuff off the field.
I mean, they had more off the field issues too, didn't they? If I remember.
Yeah, the robbery.
Yeah,
something like that.
I mean, I don't know what. It was crazy. Well, okay. Yeah, the one thing I love about you, Barrett, you never disappoint with the headline.
So what we're talking about is LSU going to go 15-0 and Alabama's going 0-12, right? No, I'm just joking.
Well,
that's not going to happen.
You know, I mean, the Alabama part of this equation, I mean, I mean, Alabama's Alabama to say the least creative sentence ever issued or uttered in Alabama, but it is hard to find a lot of juicy things to say about Alabama right now.
Yeah, you know, the offense has got holes everywhere, and that's what Nick Saban's going to focus on. You know, obviously, he's going to have to answer that question all the time. What are you going to do with this hole? What are you going to do with the quarterback, right, with the wide receivers? It's just – it's interesting because Alabama gets the benefit of the doubt pretty much every year, and this year is no different, but this is a little different in the terms of the magnitude that of questions that he has to answer.
He'll be here on Wednesday, and I know you'll be peppering him with all of that. Barrett, great to have you on. Thank you.
Come back soon. My pleasure. Thanks, Paul. Well,
Barrett Slee joining us as we continue here, SEC Media Days.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome back. I'm a little surprised that our phone system didn't short out there a minute ago when Barrett Slee predicted that LSU would go 11-1, beat Alabama, and win the West. Maybe folks out there are sleeping. I just I looked up and I thought there would be a long line of Bama fans, or maybe it's either nobody cares what Barrett says, or everyone is still in too much shock. I'm not sure which one it is, but we'll get your reaction to that in a few minutes at 855-242-7285. But yeah, is he that far off? Are we just robotically saying that Alabama will win just because Nick Saban's there and they're Alabama? I mean, I want to try to explain that Alabama does not win the championship every year. Okay. Every other year? I mean, just think about this for a second. Alabama has won a lot of SEC championships. Let's be honest. But under Nick Saban, they have only won seven times. Now, they won six national championships, but they've only won the SEC seven times. Is that really that good? Only seven times in, what, 14 years? They won the SEC in 09, 12, 14, 15, 16, 18, and 20. But they didn't win it in 8, 10, 11, 13, and 17. Do you know what's interesting about those numbers there I just gave you? Two of those years I gave you, they won the national championship and didn't win the SEC. Who else can claim that? In 2011, Bama beat LSU for the national championship. In 2017, Bama beat Georgia. A little bit of commonality there, beating SEC teams both times. Let's get some reaction. Back to the calls we go. Tim is up next. Hey, Tim, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you for the call.
Yes, sir. I'm an Alabama fan calling from North Alabama, Langtown, close to Moulton. But I'm looking at almost agreeing with that guy. We got a lot of holes to fill. I'm looking forward to a good season, but we've got a lot of untested players. So you just never know. That fella from Texas A&M, and I think we'll walk all over them, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to a good season. Seems like it takes forever to get here, and when it's here, it's gone.
Now, you're right about that. Hey, I hate to run. We're up against a break. We have 3 more hours to go.